Second part of a series that we have titled Imagine. And you know, it's no secret, as you saw from the video, it's no secret that many people have given up on organized religion and on the church today. Perhaps as you watched that opening video, you thought of someone that you could identify in those sentiments, in those interviews that were given. Now, last week, we started this series by asking ourselves a question. We ask ourselves, imagine what might happen if Christians really started living as Christ intended us to live. Imagine how people would see the church. Imagine who we could be. And more importantly, if we were living as Christ intended us to live, imagine who they might see reflected through us. And last week we saw that the real key to this was simply following Christ's command to love God and love people. It's not rocket science. But you know, the reason that we have so much trouble with that is, for the most part, most of us are what I would consider or call loophole Christians. In 2002, Myra and I bought a Ford Explorer, and we had so much trouble with cars prior to this that when we purchased this from the local dealer, he offered us a special warranty, a bumper-to-bumper warranty on this vehicle that we were purchasing, and we jumped on it, although it took the monthly payments up significantly. The problem was, there were loopholes in the agreement that we didn't see. One of the things that we had to do is we had to take the vehicle back to the dealership every so many thousand miles and have an inspection. Now, we had a bumper-to-bumper warranty, so that shouldn't be a problem because everything is covered. But I guarantee you, every time we went into this place, they found $600 worth of stuff that wasn't covered. Every time. $600 worth of stuff that wasn't covered. And then, you know, we'd say, well, you know, it really doesn't really matter, does it? And he said, well, if you don't get it fixed, then the warranty is void. And you know, it's amazing how drawn we are to loopholes, even as Christians. I love this cartoon by Bill Watterson. Bill Watterson is the guy that made Calvin and Hobbes. Used to be a cartoon that was out a lot. And he puts this cartoon up. Calvin says, explain Newton's first law of motion in your own words. And you can see Calvin all of a sudden is all excited. And here's what he writes. Yakafub mog, grug pabubwap, zinc watun, gazook chumble sputs. In his own words, he's explaining Newton's law of motion. And he says, I love loopholes. Now, that's a perfect example, isn't it? A perfect example. We all love loopholes. But stay with me for a minute, because those of us who are religious, we have a special affinity for loopholes. Because loopholes allow us to be technically right, to follow the letter of the law while we deny the spirit of the law. Loopholes allow us to use God's word to thwart God's will. We use God's word to thwart God's will. Every religion, and you know, Christianity, we've talked about, is not really a religion as much as it's a relationship, but we turn it into a religion. Every religion has its book of commands and rules. Every religion has its theologians that are designed to help people get around those commands and rules. You see, religion gives us a belief system that many times we give lip service to. Oh yeah, I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. But seldom do we really follow it unless it happens to be to our personal advantage. And when things are difficult, when the rule is too difficult or the command is too difficult or it's something that I don't quite agree with and don't quite want to do, then we find a loophole. Let me give you an example. I don't know about you, but a lot of times I'll talk to people about how Jesus says that we're supposed to love like he loves. You know, we're supposed to demonstrate the love of Christ. And generally, it's when I'm talking to them about someone that they're having a difficult issue with. And here's their loophole. But I'm not Christ. I'm not Christ. And therefore, the unspoken message is, so I don't have to do that. That's just too hard. And let me just kind of just let you know, it is not too hard. It's impossible. If you're trying to do it, it's impossible. That's why it has to be Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. Or here's another one. Tell someone what Paul says in Romans 13. And this is very important because we're getting ready to come up to an election year. We may talk a little bit about this next week. So, you know, might want to not bring a friend next week. No, seriously, you bring a friend because it is going to be good. We may talk a little bit more about this next week. But this is kind of fits into what Paul says. Paul says in Romans 13, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Now, remember when Paul wrote this, the governing authorities was a guy called Nero, who hated Christians and was trying to exterminate them. He writes, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do it will bring judgment on themselves. And here's the loophole. We must obey God rather than men. I don't agree with that particular leader, so I don't have to obey them. I have to obey God. And they think, check and mate, if you're a chess person. The problem is, think about this just for a minute. If you are disobeying Romans 13, 1 and 2, then you can't be obeying God because he's the one that gave it to us. So you're disobeying both man and God. Forget this loophole that we try to use. Sounds like a great loophole. And I promise you right now, some of you are stewing over this, and you'll think about this for the rest of the sermon, not hear anything else I say. You're going to be thinking about, well, here's the exception, here's the exception, here's the exception. Stop doing that. Just stop it. You don't have to do that. And please don't come to me at the end of the sermon and say, Pastor, here, what about this? Because I'm just going to smile and say thank you for listening and not hearing anything I had to say. We Christians, we love loopholes. We just do. And loophole Christianity loves theology. You see, theology, by the way, so that you know, theology is the systematic development of a thought or idea of a belief system. The systematic development of the thought or ideas of a belief system. An example of really good theology is the theology of the Trinity. People will tell you all the time, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. They are absolutely right. The word Trinity appears nowhere in Scripture. But through the systematic study of Scripture, the concept is certainly there, and we came up with a word that identifies the concept. That's what good theology does. But sometimes in our theology, what we do is we start to use it wrongly to develop what we want to believe, and we use it to build barricades to keep us from having to do what the Bible actually says we should be doing. History is full of all kinds of things that have happened in the name of Christ and defended by a carefully crafted theology. Slavery is an example of that. Just one example. The Crusades were an example of that. Don't get me wrong here. I am not against theology. I love theology. I do. And I think that we should be teaching sound doctrine. And that's one of the things that we're doing on Wednesday night. If you want the deeper things, this is the time for you to come. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We're getting really deep. I love theology. But I am against theology when it becomes our excuse to pick and choose what we like about God's word, God's command. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were experts at doing this. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus. We're in Matthew 15. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn there. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Now, we met the Pharisees last week. You remember the Pharisees are the most influential religious group of the day in Jesus' time. And they believed not only the written law of God, the Torah, but they also accepted what we call the Talmud, the oral traditions. The Talmud, we said, was developed during the Babylonian captivity when they were out of the land and in Palestine and in Babylon. They began to develop these oral traditions. They began to write them down because God had promised them, if you love me and obey me, you get to stay in the land. But if you choose to go against me, I'm going to take you out of the land. Now, you know, things, people are people, and they kind of push, and they kind of push, they kind of push, they kind of push. God warns them. He warns them through the prophet again and again and again and again. And finally, you know, he has enough, and he says, okay. So in 722 B.C., he takes the northern tribes captive by Assyria. And in 586 B.C., he takes the starts the exile of the southern tribes to Babylon. And it's while they're in Babylon that they begin this beautiful reasoning that, I mean, just makes sense. Just understand that these Pharisees, you know, we always view them as the guy in the black hat. They were not the bad guys. They were trying to be good guys. But in their attempt to be good guys, they actually became bad guys. And this process will explain what happened. So what happened is this. They got out in Babylon and they said, okay, we are responsible for keeping the law of God, this little square, this little box. We are responsible. If we would have kept the law of God, example, one of the things that he says in that law is honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land. And if you honor them, I'm going to let you stay in the land. And if you don't honor them, I'm taking you out of the land. So, you know, this was the law. And they said, you know, we were doing fine as long as we were obeying that. And so they decided that they needed to get back to obeying the law so they could get back to the land. But the problem is they are in a foreign land. They have no way to sacrifice or anything because there's no temple or anything. So they've got to come up with a system that allows them to obey the law when they can't obey the law. So what they do is they say, here's the thing. The law said this. We blew it. Let's build a fence around that law. That way, we won't get so close to the law that if we step over the fence, if we trespass this part, we won't trespass the law part, and God won't deal with us. But then they got thinking, well, wait a minute. Now, if we do this, and we step over that first fence, look how close to the law we are. So let's build another fence, and let's build another fence, and let's build another fence, until, as we said last week, there are 750 volumes of fences that they have built to protect the law of God. That's what they were designed to do. But what they did is they obscured the law of God. That's why Jesus responds to them when they come to him and says, why aren't they washing their hands before they eat? Jesus responds to them, and why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your traditions. For God said, honor your father and mother. He goes right back to that first command with promise. And anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. But you say, If a man says to his father and mother, whatever help you might have otherwise received from me is a gift devoted to God. We talked about this last week. They came along and they said, you know, Mom, Dad, I would love to help you. I know I have a responsibility. You know, you brought me into this world. You cared for me until I couldn't care for myself. And now, you know, you're kind of getting up in years and it's my turn to care for you. But everything that I would have used to care for you, I've already given to God. It belongs to Him. So it wouldn't be fair if I tried to take it away from God and give it to you to help you. I can't do it. I'm sorry. You're just on your own. I mean, I'm just managing what God has given me. And if He calls for it and I've given it to you, I can't give it back to Him. And they made a great show of this spirituality of honoring God. Look how marvelous I am. Look what I've given to God, while they were disobeying the very commands of God. They looked good, but they were missing the weightier things of the law. So Jesus continues. He says, you go on to say, he is not to honor his father and mother. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Now come on, be honest. What happened then still happens today, doesn't it? So often we have done something and we have practiced something for so long, we can't tell whether our actions are based on a biblical command or traditions that we've just developed over the centuries. And sometimes what we do, we love to do this. We use God's word to get out of doing God's will. Obey authorities. I ought to obey God rather than man. That's what God said. I don't have to obey the authority. I don't have to try to obey. I've got this covered. And that's why Jesus continues when he's talking to them. And unfortunately, he would be addressing us as well when he says, you hypocrites. You people who are pretending at being my followers. You people who are play acting. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You know, Paul picks up this idea over in Colossians when he writes these words, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on, this is the word, human traditions. And the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. We're seeing more of that today. People want to argue with you. You know, you need to be worshiping on the Sabbath. You need to be on the Sabbath. He says, don't let that throw you. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle that. Do not taste this. Do not touch that. And you say, you know, that really doesn't apply to me, but let me just ask you a question. How many of you secretly enjoy, you know, harmless entertainment? For instance, example, you know, the Bible says you will not commit adultery, and so, you know, we know we're not going to do that. I mean, you know, most people here are not going to commit that sin. If you do, and I've just, you know, hit you, there's forgiveness. I just got to tell you. But most of us know that we're not going to do that. Most of us know, you know, that we're not going to go down a certain path, but we come and we think, you know, okay, I won't do that. But then we enjoy this harmless entertainment. Some of you love the 50 Shades of Grey stuff. Or you men, you indulge in fantasies on the internet. Don't raise your hand if that describes you. Certainly, none of us would ever commit murder. I would hope. But we think nothing of hating certain people. And Jesus said, if you hate them, you already killed them. You're already guilty. He raises the bar so high. And you know what our loophole is? That's just your interpretation, Pastor. That's just your... I think there are other interpretations of this. Paul goes on to say, these rules may seem good, for rules of this kind require strong devotion, are humiliating and hard on the body, but they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires. They only make him proud. Now, come on, here's what we know. When you use loopholes, you are technically correct. You can give the Word of God and you can support it by a text generally out of context. But we're technically correct. And using loopholes, we have done all sorts of horrible things in the name of Christ. And not only on a large scale, but on an individual scale as well. God says, love as I loved. And we say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I get to take my revenge. We can do just about anything and find a verse to justify it. And here's what I know. Christians look for loopholes. Christians use the scriptures many times as a weapon. Followers of Jesus use the Word of God as a mirror. Christians look for loopholes. Disciples don't. Christ followers don't look for loopholes. Can you imagine what would happen in our world, in this church, in your family, if we Christians simply stopped asking this question, what does the Bible say? Now, don't misunderstand that. Everything that we know about Jesus and everything that we know about God and everything that we know comes from what the Bible says. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not suggesting for one minute that we don't read the Bible or that we don't apply it. You can't know God apart from the Bible. But when I say, what if we stop asking simply what the Bible says? All I'm saying is we need to stop using God's word to get around God's will. A good example of this is when Jesus says in Matthew 7:1, judge not, lest you be judged. And so we come along and we say, we can't tell anybody that they're wrong. We're not supposed to judge people. And we studied this chapter before, so we're not going to go back into it. But that's a good example of using the Bible to say what the Bible doesn't say. And we need to be careful about this. So what if we stopped asking, what does the Bible say? And started asking, what does the love of Jesus require of me? What would Jesus do in this situation? What does the love of Jesus require of me? What if we stopped asking, what's the least I can do to be a good Christian? And started asking, what would Jesus do? Personally, I think it would be a game changer. I really do. Religious people always love to use the rules to trump people. Christ followers always allow people to trump the rules. The rabbis were always after Jesus about their perceived infractions that he was making on the Sabbath. So Jesus reminds them the Sabbath was made for man, not for man for the Sabbath. God's rules, we're not made because God, you know, he said, you know what, I want to make a bunch of rules and then I'm going to have some people that follow them. That's not why he made us. God made us and then he gave us the rules not to make us good, but to keep us free. That's why we have the rules. Men's rules are always made to control. We saw this in the opening video. Religion is about control. Men's rules are always about control and conformity. They want to conform us to a certain thing. But God's rules are made to free us and to transform us. And we don't follow God's rules to get into God's good graces or to stay in God's good graces. We follow God's rules because we trust him. Why do we trust him? The reason that we trust him is he proved his love for us by sending his son to die on the cross for us. And if somebody has done that, do you really think for a minute that he's going to take you after you get that and say, now I got you, watch what I do with you. No. He has your best interest at heart. So we trust him and we believe that the rules and the commands that he gives us are for our benefit, to help us, not to harm us. And because of that, we don't run around looking for loopholes, looking for what's the least I can do. You know, one of the big loopholes that we Christians love to use, I say this because I've used it. I'm embarrassed to say that. The Bible says that God's desire is that we don't sin. And we know that. But you know what loophole we use? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know what I'm about to do is wrong, but I know I can come back and get forgiveness. So guess what? I'm going to do it. Because my loophole, the Bible says, there's forgiveness. Now, there is forgiveness, but it's a loophole. And you know it, and I know it. We don't need to look for loopholes. We don't need to be looking for what's the minimum that I can do. Aren't you glad that God didn't look for a loophole when he came looking for you? I know I am, that he didn't look for one for me, because I would have given him plenty of it. Aren't you glad that God didn't come saying, what is the least that I could do for these people? But he came and gave his all, gave his very best. Think of it this way for a minute. You've heard me use this illustration before, but it just doesn't get better than this, I don't think. I love you, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for you. I sacrifice for you pretty much on a regular basis as your pastor. I spend time sometimes away from my family because there's a need in the church, and so my family suffers. And so I would gladly suffer for you, and I would gladly do whatever I can for you. But I promise you this. As much as I love you, I don't love you so much that I would sacrifice my son for you. If it's between you and him, you on your own. For the Father to sacrifice the Son is the greatest act of love that could ever be demonstrated. He gave his all, he gave his best, and he didn't look for a loophole. I'll just up the law a little bit. I'll just up the sacrifices a little bit. He sacrificed his sons. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a loophole Christian always looking for some technicality to get around why I didn't do what I know God commanded me to do. I don't want to be looking for some technicality to explain why I can rebel against authority and use God's word to justify it. Oh, I'm obeying God, not man. I don't have to listen to you. I'm obeying God, not you. I don't have to listen to you, Pastor. God gives me the ability to know. We're all priests. I don't want to be that man. Let's not make this difficult. Let's stop using God's word as a club and start using it as a mirror. Let's make up our mind to simply love God and love people. And stop looking for excuses to get around that. Okay, I can do that. I can love God and I can love people. But this person over here, you know, you don't know what they did to me. I don't have to love them. We got a history. You would understand if you let me tell my story. And, you know, we probably would weep with you if you told your story. But what if we stop looking for excuses and exceptions? Let's stop holding people accountable for sins that God has already forgiven them of. Let's stop holding people accountable for sins that God has already forgiven them of. And let's start treating each other the way God treats us. That's how we love God and love people. Let me just put it another way. Let's be the people that Christ died and rose again to make us. We can do it, but not in our own steam, not in our own power, not with our own decision. We can do it as we submit ourselves fully and totally to Him and realize it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory, not me that's the glory of Christ. He is our glory, and He changes us from within. And let's let Him do that and stop finding the excuses as to why I can't be this way. Because that's just the way I am. In a minute, Joey and Myra are going to come and they're going to lead us in our invitation. Perhaps God has spoken to your heart this morning. I pray that He has. I know that He has spoken to my heart. Even as I preach, I always speak to myself. I look for the loopholes. I'm ashamed to say that. But we can find them when we look for them. Let's submit ourselves to Him fully. Let's stop being the Christian who looks for loopholes and be the Christ followers who doesn't, who just says, Lord, whatever you say, I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You for Your love and for Your mercy and for Your grace that didn't hesitate for a minute to lay everything on the line, knowing full well what you weren't going to get when you got John Perrell, whoever else name could fit in that site. You still gave. You didn't look for an excuse. He's going to blow it so many times. He's out. He's not one. No, you still gave, and you still love. And Father, I thank You that You still forgive. And when You forgive, You don't bring it up again and again and again saying, remember when, remember when, remember when. It's taken care of. It's covered. It's buried. It's removed as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up. Father, we pray that we will be Your followers who ask regularly, what does the love of Jesus require of me? And what would Jesus do? How would He respond in this situation with this person? And then help us to do it gladly from the heart, because You have done it for us gladly from Your divine heart. Now give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we just heard and the courage to do it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As Joey leads us, if you want to come and pray between you and the Lord, you come to this side. If you want someone to pray with you, come to this side. Someone who's trained will come and help carry your burden, but you come as he's speaking.